Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are back to the epistle of Jude. We are studying our last passage in Jude. I think some of you are waiting eagerly for this passage to know about God. We are in the last days. The world is filled with wickedness and violence and sin. We are seeing wars between nations. These things will happen before Jesus comes. Even Jude says, verse 14, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment." Jesus is coming. Brothers and sisters, Jesus may come today, tomorrow, anytime. Maybe now. Let me ask you one question. How many of you are confident that you are saved and secured in Christ? Some of you say that, yes, I am safe. Whenever Jesus comes, he will take me home. But some of you say, sometimes I am secure, I feel secure. Sometimes I am not feeling secure. I am thinking I may lose my salvation. I am thinking I may go to hell if I die. Even though you are believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Today our sermon is on this topic, brothers and sisters. This sermon will help you to have confidence that you are being secured eternally by God. And this sermon will help you to adore Him in truth. Why I am phrasing this truth? When I was in PTS, we were sharing what we have learned in PTS. Then one sister shared her testimony. Before I come to PTS, I have a doubt on my salvation. When I'm listening word of God in the church, when I'm attending the classes, I came to know that I never lose my salvation because of God, because of Christ. Even believers sometimes feel that I am losing my salvation. That is saying God is not able to protect you. That is sin. But Bible is saying very clearly, brothers and sisters, we were secured eternally. God will protect us. This epistle is a warning epistle to the church. Based on our studies in last times, we have to fight for the sound doctrine. That is the theme of this epistle. Because of false teachers, this epistle looks like warning message, but Jude encouraged the church even in this small letter. If you see verse 1 and 2, is full of encouragement because he says that we are called and beloved in the Father and we are kept in Christ. Then he explained verse 3 to 23. He just focused on false teachers and their teachings and their lives, our responsibilities as well. He is encouraging, comforting the church readers at the end of his letter, verse 24 to 25. I praise Holy Spirit for his shepherding heart. After explaining that all helpful things and the dangerous which is from false teachers to the church, he comforts the church because the church can lose heart and feel insecure about their salvation because of false teachers. Jude is saying to us, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't be depressed about all the truth that I have told you before. Now I want to comfort you with the truth about God and who He is and what He does for us, for His church. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Just we read. I read for you, verse 24 and 25. "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. All people say amen. Amen. That is true. Glory belongs to God. We have to give our praise to God. Whenever we say glory, dominion, praise to God, we must say amen. That is true. He deserves those praises. Brothers and sisters, by reading this small two verses, we can understand clearly the theme of this passage is adoring God, the provider of eternal security. Adoring God, the provider of eternal security. Look at verse 24. It says, God is the one who is able to keep you from stumbling, make you stand in the presence of His glory. God makes us, keeps us, and makes the church stand in the presence of His glory. So we can say that we are secure in God eternally. There is no doubt about it. Then he says, verse 25, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Just Jude is adoring, giving, praising, praise to God. I want to bring one thing, brothers and sisters. Jude praises God even in most difficult times. Church is facing false teaching, but he is praising now. Did you see? Now to him. Now to him. He is praising God even in difficult situations, in dark times. So this is the theme of passage, adoring God, the provider of eternal security. Three attributes of God that showcase eternal security. The first attribute of God is He is the powerful, powerful God. He is the powerful God. Verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory. Here Jude is saying that God is able. God is powerful. Here Jude is saying that God is powerful without time limits. That is the idea in Greek. There is no time limits. There is no boundaries to God's power. He is able. He is powerful for his people. He himself has that attribute. It does not mean God was powerful, but now he is not. Then he will be powerful one day. It is not saying like this. It means he is powerful, able to do something for his people. It is a timeless fact. Our God is capable and strong, brothers and sisters. Two actions of our powerful God. First action of our powerful God is He protects us from falling. He protects us from falling. Verse 24, part A says, to keep you from stumbling. He is able to keep you from stumbling. Here Jude is saying that God is able, powerful to do something. Just he is completing the thought. What he is saying? To keep you from stumbling. That means he protects us from falling, we can say. The meaning of the word keep in Greek is to watch, guard, or to protect. We can say protect by taking careful measures. Taking careful measures. This word used in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. To understand this word, I want to read this that verse. Shepherds keep watch over their flock by night. Shepherds keep watch. This is an idea of watching, protecting the sheep that are weak, cannot save themselves from enemies, from wolves. Good shepherd does not sleep when there is a danger for his sheep. If shepherds hear any sound, they use torchlight and they go and search. They will try to protect their sheep. But same idea used for God, Jude used. God is protecting the church by taking careful measurement. Let me explain you so that you can understand easily. Did you go to beach? Did you go to beach? If you go little deeper into the ocean, that God will come. Hello, please come out. Come out. He is doing the protection. Before that person go into the deep and die, this God is keeping, watching, protecting the people. For that he is staying there. The same, the idea. God is protecting us before we fall. Brothers and sisters, God is the protector of his people. He does not sleep and slumber. God is a good shepherd of us. You should not forget that. But he explained from what? God is able to protect us from what? From stumbling. See the word, from stumbling. The idea is, in a moral sense, free from offense, without fault. From fault, we can say. It is free from sinning, that is going away from Christ. God won't leave you. God will protect you from falling, that is leaving Jesus Christ. He won't allow his people to leave Jesus Christ. He will protect us. He will protect us. We can understand clearly that stumbling is a metaphor in Old Testament. Psalm 140, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purpose to trip up my feet." Verse 5, "The proud has hidden a trap for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me, Selah." The psalmist is praying to God as his powerful God to protect him from his enemies. The same idea here. The church is facing false teachers. They are trying to destroy the church, steal the church members. But God is able to protect church members. There are two types of enemies that believers have. One is their sinful nature, and the second one is false teachers. Whatever it is, brothers and sisters, whether it is your sinful nature, your weakness, whether it is outside of the church, false teachers, no one will steal you. God protects you eternally. God keeps his people from stumbling. He will stop his people before they fall. That is the idea of these words. There are many people will be afraid because they think they lose their salvation. The sinful actions of false teachers that affect the church to stumble. We see why Jude is writing these words. Because of false teachers. The context is false teachers are there in the church. We may fall because they are very dangerous. If we see, many characteristics we have to learn. We have learned many things about them. They loved immorality, verse 7. They are fornicators, verse 7. They practice homosexuality. They are ungodly men. They turn grace into a license to sin. They deny Christ Jesus. They have unnatural behavior. They speak slanderously. You can see that. There are many characteristics of false teachers. They are self-centered men. They are greedy men. They are prideful men. They are dangerous men. They are fearless men. They do useless ministry. They have unstable destiny. They speak ungodly words. Flattering speech, bombastic speech, discontented speech, they mock God's truth. They divide the church. They don't have the spirit. Just I mentioned some of the qualities, characteristics of false teachers, which were mentioned in Jude. If you remember, these all things are my outlines and sub-outlines in my preachings. Just I brought those things. See, these people are there in the church. They are preaching the word. They are in the church. They can influence anybody. But God is able to protect you. No need to fear.
even though these people are there, they cannot do anything for us because God is able. Jude is encouraging us, brothers and sisters. I told everything about them, but remember, God is faithful. He can protect us. He is able. Maybe some of you ask, after this sermon, Vijay, you said God is able to protect us. Some people went away from the church. Why did God not protect them? To tell that, I want to encourage you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, they went away from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. They are not believers. So they went away, brothers and sisters. If they are believers, if they are trusting God, they will stay in the church, true biblical church. If they are leaving the church because they are not believers. If you are a believer, God cannot leave you. He will protect you because you are His. Brothers and sisters, don't rely on your strength. If you rely on your own strength in times of apostasy, you will be defeated by them. But if you have duties to preserve, but ultimately God is the one who protects you from falling. Have a sound sleep. If you are trusting Christ, if you are trusting God, He cannot leave you. You have eternal security. He will protect you. Sometimes people won't sleep if they think, if I die today, what will happen to me? They won't sleep. They will worry about those things. But God is saying, the Bible is saying that He will protect. He protects you, brothers and sisters. Amen. Second action of our powerful God, He will present us before His glory. We will spend more time on this first outline, first truth. Then we will go through speedily second and third outline. The second action of our powerful God is He will present us before His glory. Look at verse 24, part B. Who is able to make you stand in the presence of His glory. Here Jude is saying that God is not only able to keep the church, protect the church from stumbling, but also He is able to make or cause the church to stand before His glory. He will present us before His glory. Here Jude is saying that God is powerful to present you in His glory. Jude is stressing the fact of occurrence. It will happen one day. There is a confidence in this truth. It will occur. This is talking about our right standard in the presence of His glory. God is going to present us. This will happen. It says His glory, right? God's glory is the radiance of His very being, who He is. Actually, we have no rights to stand in His presence because we all are sinners. He is holy, unholy God. No one will stand before Him. But He Himself causing us in Christ to stand before Him. That is the great thing. The holy God is loving us. We can see that. Two ways He will present us before His glory. First way He will present us before His glory is without blemish. Look at verse 24. It says, to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless. Yet Jude is saying that what standard that God is able to make the church stand. He has given an answer that He is without blemish or blameless. That is the standard of His people. Without blemish, God is going to make us, cause us to stand in His glory. The meaning of this word in Greek is to be without defect. The same word used for sacrificial animals. The sacrificial animal should be without any defect. To being without fault, therefore, morally blameless, God won't accept if there is any defect in the animal. It is the shadow of Jesus Christ. If anyone should stand in his presence, he must be blameless. He must be holy. The same idea here Jude is using. No one will point out our fault, defeat in the believers, because they will be in heaven. Blameless is the perfect virtue, character, to which believers are obligated by membership in eschatological community. If you want to stay in heaven, you must be blameless. Then God accepts you. God knows that if you want to stand in his presence, you must be blameless. He is making you blameless. He will present you blameless. That is the great hope, right? You want to live holy life, blameless life. But one day God is going to accomplish for your sake. For your sake. Here is the good news, right? That God make every one of us like Jesus Christ. How God accepted Jesus Christ. He is going to accept us as blameless. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. God has decided before the foundation of the world that the church, his people, would be holy and blameless. And he is able to do it. He has decided, I want to keep the church blameless. I am going to accomplish one day. He is going to do that, brothers and sisters. That is great hope we have. Great hope we have. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27. It says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but she would be holy and blameless. Christ gave himself for her. For the church, for this purpose. Christ died for the church to present the church before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22. Here Jude is reminding the church to know God is powerful to cause you to stand before him without blemish. He is not teaching new lessons. He is teaching old things. Brothers and sisters, God planned, God decided to make you blameless. Christ died for you to make you blameless, to stand before him. It will happen one day. Brothers and sisters, don't doubt God, for he planned for this. Christ died for this. He will accomplish so that you would be blameless and holy. Be thankful to God because he made you. He will cause you to stand in his glory. This is the great privilege we have. Seeing Christ, being in the presence of God, that is great privilege God gave you. Be thankful for that. You know how much sinful you are. I know how much sinful I am. You know how much weak you are. You deserve the hell, but he did not give you hell, but he gave his presence to enjoy his presence. We must be thankful. Brothers and sisters, second way he will present us before his glory is with exaltation, with great joy. Look at verse 24. It says, to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. It is great joy, brothers and sisters. This extreme joy. It is not talking about normal joy, just laughing. It is extreme joy, exaltation, with gladness. This joy is eschatological. It is future. We can have joy on the earth. We know Philippians, the whole book is talking about joy on the earth. But ultimately, the great joy, extreme joy we can have in the future when God reveals himself to us, when we are in his presence. There are some reasons why we will have great joy. We see. The first reason we can see in this text, why we can be joyful, because this is a result of being pronounced not guilty by God. We are not guilty by God that time. God is not making us sinful. You are undeserved this heaven. He is not saying. He is saying you deserve this presence because of Christ. So it will give more joy, right? This verse is saying that he causes us to stand without blemish so we can have joy. Second reason why we can have great joy in his presence. You see, we are in his glorious presence. We are in his presence, so we can have joy. When I was studying the word joy, this word, extreme joy, in different places in the Bible, most of the time, God's people are joyful because of his presence. This is true in this passage. For example, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, it says, but to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. When you meet Jesus, you will have great joy. Revelation chapter 19 verse 7, it says, let us rejoice and be glad, give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. Did you see? The bride is going to meet bridegroom, Jesus Christ. So when we are in the presence of God, we have great joy, extreme joy. You know, Luke chapter 1, verse 44, we know that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, then the baby leaped in the womb for joy. John the Baptist was joyful because he is in the presence of Jesus Christ. Whenever God's people meeting Christ, meeting God, whenever people in the presence of God, they will experience extreme joy. Extreme joy. That is the idea. Why we are joyful? Why we will be having great joy? Because we are in the presence of Christ. We are in the presence of God. That is the reason. Another reason I want to tell, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. God serves us even in heaven. Christ serves us even in heaven. We see Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Do you remember? Adam, he did not have any pain, any cry, anything before the fall. After fall, what happened? God cursed. God gave punishment to him. He had a death. He has to go through the death. He has to suffer. He has to sweat. Everything God is going to remove in heaven. That's why we have great extreme joy in heaven. God is going to give that joy for us. It will make us joyful on the earth, right? It will make us joyful on the earth. Brothers and sisters, God is going to wipe all your tears when he reveals himself to you. You will be glad in a smaller way if you spend your time with God. Did you see who prayed to God? We can see their laugh in their face. They are joyful people, those who have intimacy with God. It is smaller way. But one day Jesus Christ is going to take us to home. One day God is going to take us to his home. So that we can have a great joy, extreme joy. Are you suffering on the earth? Are you worried about your problems on the earth? Tired of your problems in your children's life, whatever problem, are you tired about your sinful nature, sufferings, whatever it is, but one day God is going to give you extreme joy. That will happen. This is sure. Jude is explaining. Our God is God of our protector. He will protect us. He will present us, brothers and sisters. Second attribute of God that showcases eternal security is He is our saving God. Look at verse 25, part A. It says, to the only God, our Savior. Did you see that? Only God, our Savior. Especially, see the word. Look at the word. To only God. Our God is only God. There is no other God besides Him. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens. God is He alone. No one beside Him. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 5 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God besides me. Do you remember? When God gave commands to Israel, He said one thing. The first command, He said, they should not have other gods before Him. They should not make for themselves an idol, any likeness of what is in heaven or on the earth, beneath or in the water under the earth. They should not worship anybody. They should worship only true God. This God whom you are serving, whom you trust, He is only God. There is no other gods beside Him. Before I became Christian, I used to think Jesus Christ, God is one of the God. He is better than these gods. I respect Jesus because He is also God. No, that is not right. Scripture is saying there is only one God. That is our God. To only God, there is no other gods beside Him. He is unique and great God. But other thing is, this only God became our Savior. This will make us be joyful. This only God who has created heaven and earth, that same God became our personal Savior. He became our Savior. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand who God is. He is our Savior. Only God is saying that His greatness, but only Savior is saying to us His goodness. This great God became good to us by saving us. He is our Savior. The title Savior He used 8 times in New Testament to refer to God. But more frequently, 16 times it is used for Jesus Christ. But God the Father is the saving God. God the Son is the saving God. God the Holy Spirit is saving God. But in our text, God the Father is our Savior. He is our Savior. By nature, He saves His people. He is the source of our salvation. He saved us from our sins, ultimately from His wrath, by sending His one and only Son, who is like Him. And He crushed His Son to save us. How God the Father became our Savior? By sending His Son to die for the sinners, you and me. God is our Savior, brothers and sisters. Did you do anything for God? Have you done any good righteousness? Have you done any work to gain the salvation? No. Before the foundation of the world, God has chosen you. He became Savior to you. We can see that Titus chapter 3 verse 4 to 5. Titus chapter 3 verse 4 and 5 says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. His kindness, his mercy appeared for mankind. No one chose God here. Lord, please save me. I'm coming. I'm running for you. God has decided to save you. His mercy overflowed. His love overflowed. God is our Savior, brothers and sisters. This is eternal life. God saves eternally, not temporary. He is the God of our salvation. He alone saves. Psalm 17, verse 9, it says, "Help us, O God, God of our salvation, for the glory of your name." When God saves for his glory and deliver us, forgive our sins for your name's sake. God is the God of our salvation. If God saves anybody in Christ, then he is the eternal Savior to him. He did not leave in middle. He will save eternally his people. Nothing will separate us from his saving love. He is our Savior. We are secure eternally. Last Bible study, we know about God, who is our Savior. When God gave a plan to Noah, he instructed how to make the ark so that he can save Noah's family from his judgment, flood. Why I'm explaining this? Whole world is going to die, but God is saving Noah and his family. Why he did not leave Noah and his family? Because he is Savior. He is Savior eternally. Even though others are going to die, even though everybody is going away from God, but he won't leave his people. He saves his people. So if you understand who God is, if you understand our God is saving God, then you will have that confidence to say, "I am secure eternally." Because God did not leave Noah, he won't leave me. God did not leave his people in past, he won't leave me in future. That is helping me. That is helping you to understand he is our provider of eternal security. Brothers and sisters, it is true. Anybody here sitting who is not trusting God for the salvation, for the forgiveness, he is the God of Savior. He saves you from your sins. He will give eternal life to you. He won't leave you unless he protects you, unless you go to heaven. He is faithful God, brothers and sisters. Give your heart. Trust in him. Trust Christ, because he is our Savior. Third attribute of God that showcases our eternal security is the great praiseworthy God. Verse 25 part B. He is the great praiseworthy God. Verse 25. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. Three reasons why he is the great praiseworthy God. The first reason why he is great and praiseworthy God is praiseworthy qualities belong to him. Praiseworthy qualities belongs to him. Verse 25 says, right, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority. Four qualities that belong to God. First one, glory. Glory signifies the great honor that is ascribed to God for his saving work. He is protecting and saving, preserving the church. He receives all glory and praise because of who he is, for his character, his attributes, at the same time his work. We must ascribe our glory to God. We must give glory to God. He alone wants glory. Second quality that belongs to God is majesty, he said. Majesty is eminence or greatness, we can say. Majesty denotes his greatness. He is greater than all, especially in this context. He is greater than all false teachers. Why Jude is saying he has dominion? Dominion belongs to God, to Christ, because we think these false teachers, they are greater than God. We think our weakness is greater than God. We are in the hand of great God. He possessed, he owns dominion. He has a majesty, he has. He's great God, you can say. At the same time, he is great, greater than all false teachers and true teachers, every believer. So he can protect us. He wants glory. This causes us to have majesty. Who he is, he's glorious God. So he has that majesty, greatness. Third quality that belongs to God is dominion. See, it is frequently used of God's power. Dominion is signifying God's power. His sovereign rule has no boundaries because he has power. He has dominion, he has power. If he has power, he has authority. See, fourth quality belongs to God is authority. It denotes the sovereign authority of God as ruler. He rules over all creation. Yet dominion and authority are words that are close in meaning. They indicate that God is sovereign, ruler, and in control. He exercises his will. The glory, majesty, dominion, authority belongs to God. He rules the church so he can rescue us. If he has dominion, power, authority, false teachers won't do anything with the church. They can trouble sometimes, but they cannot steal from his hand. Second reason why he is great, praiseworthy God is he is worthy of praise all time. He is worthy of praise all time. See, before all time, and now, and forever, amen. Past, before all time, he is talking about past. God was worthy of being praised before all time. When there is no creature, when there is no creation, God being worthy of praise. It includes any time that is past. God is worthy of praise. Then he said, and now. He's talking about present. He's worthy of being praised now for what he has done for the church. Jude verse 24 says, now to him. Now to him. God is worthy of being even in the times of apostasy. Jude is adoring God even in the bad times because he knows God is powerful. God is faithful to protect his church from these false teachers. It helped Jude to praise God. Otherwise, he cannot praise God. If he's thinking about always false teachers, always weakness of people, then he will be depressed. But he is not. He was not depressed. He is praising God in midst of trouble. He knows God is sovereign over them. He is in control, not false teachers. He is the ruler of the church. He is the ruler of each and every one of us. So we must, even now he is being praised. Then he said, forever. He will be worthy of being adored through all time, all ages, all future. All his people adore him by day and night. His salvation, for his salvation. What he has done for us. Eternally we are going to give praise, honor to him because what he has done. Why we are going to give praise to him? Because He is the provider of our eternal security. We did not go to heaven not because we are smart, we have wisdom, we can save ourselves. Let me tell you, if you go to heaven by your strength, what will happen? Can I tell? God is sitting on the throne. You come and sit beside him. Everybody is praising. You say, hello, hi. You say that. You won't worship God. Why you won't worship God? You say that, God, I came here because I am being secured by myself. You can say that. No one will say that. No one will say that because everybody will go to heaven. Everybody will have eternal security because of God. So we give praise to him. That's why he deserves our praise. He deserves our adoration day and night. We will praise him for what he has done for us. Third reason why he is the great praiseworthy God is he is worthy of praise through Christ. Through Christ. Verse 25. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Did you see that phrase? We can exalt and adore God through Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. God deserves adoration from us because of Christ who came to seek us and saved us. We can understand God through Christ alone. We can ascribe all great praiseworthy qualities to God through Jesus Christ. See, our Lord. If you see our Lord, Lord means sovereign. If you see same word in Old Testament, is Yahweh. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He is equal to God the Father. Why we can give glory, praise, and dominion, everything to God because of Christ. Through Christ we can give. If there is no Christ, then there is no salvation. There is no protection. God can't make us stand in his glorious presence, blameless without Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us and who died for our righteousness. God saved us in Jesus Christ. Why we are praising God? Because he saved us. He saved us in Christ Jesus. So we give praise and glory through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we must adore him even in the dark situation. I don't know what is your situation is. You must be thankful. You are eternally secured by God. Even though you have some difficulties on the earth, don't think about that those things. Just think about God who gave many things to you, especially his salvation. One of the best ways to forget all our difficulties and all our problems in your life and in the church life is by knowing the greatness of God and praising him. Brothers and sisters, we can praise him through Jesus Christ. When we are thinking about problems, we cannot praise him. Enjoying intimacy with God. I was reading that book that he mentioned one statement. Just I am reading for you. It says, we evangelical do not know about worship. We have little sense of the greatness of Almighty God. We tend to be cocky. That means self-confidence. Flippant and proud. And our worship service are often ill-prepared, mechanical. Then he says, superficial and dull. Much of our public worship is ritual without reality, form without power, religion without God. Why we are not worshiping God? Even though we are worshiping God, we are not worshiping God properly. We must learn from Jude how he is giving praise, glory to God. We must worship him. It is mandatory. You cannot silent when you know you are being depressed. You are going to hell. God saved you by his grace, by his power. You won't stop. You will sing even though your voice is not good. I used to have my friend in PTS. He does not have that much sweet voice. For me also like that. I can't sing nicely also. But he used to sing loudly only. I won't care people. If they think bad about me, array, this person does not have nice voice. I don't care. I will sing. Because he deserves that. I should worship him. You must have that attitude, brothers and sisters. You must worship him for what he has done for us. Just three attributes of God that showcase our eternal security. We have seen three attributes of God. He is the powerful God. He is our saving God. He is great, praiseworthy God. I heard many times in newspaper that I heard that there is a one news that is two person died because they went for swimming. Then sometimes what it says, reality, one person is going to deep in the ocean, he's going to die. Then next person has seen that person who is beloved to him. Then he ran, he jumped into the ocean and went, tried to save him. But he was also died. Both were died because this person wants to save that person. Both were died. Why I am saying that? If that person, human being, loving his beloved human being to save life, he decided to die also. Why God will leave you, brothers and sisters? If he loves you, if Christ loved you, he died for you, God won't leave you because God loves you. God loves you. He is more greater than human beings. His love more greater than human beings' love. Don't feel bad. Don't be insecure. Our God is our Savior, eternal Savior. John chapter 10 verse 29 says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one will snatch them out of the Father's hand." No one will snatch you. Romans chapter 8 verse 38-39 says, "Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things, even false teachers, even yourself, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord." He will save you eternally. You are secured in your loving Father. He won't leave you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness upon us. You saved us, then you are protecting us eternally, making us blameless in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all your mercy. Sometimes human beings, Lord, church, by going through difficult situations, may think that we are not secured. That is not true, Lord. You are our God. You can save us eternally. In Jesus' name I pray.